Hello!
Hello! It's Dear Maw again.
It's Dear Maw. It's a new episode.
Yay! It's the Easter cow.
The tradition of the Easter cow is not often recognised or acknowledged.
It's a new tradition.
It's a new tradition.
Yeah.
So.
There we go. How's your Lent going?
I'm leaning towards it's kind of just again, just taking it deeper and more. I think the more I do it, the more I'm taking it seriously and not just thinking, oh, I didn't drink coffee yesterday, or I didn't do this yesterday, yay me, I can do anything today. But just really putting more value into the times that I am spending with God.
Yeah.
Rather than the times of doing the other stuff, which is nice, but...
That's it. I think for me, it's... I've been more conscious of being more reflective.
And
spending that time in the morning. I did start getting up at 5 o'clock to do this kind of golden hour malarkey. I've stopped doing that. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's not a golden hour.
I had a word with myself and I went, no, it's nothing golden about that.
No.
So now I'm getting up about sort of half. I wake up about 6, 7 o'clock anyway.
Okay.
So I just do it then. So it's working. So
that's good. Yeah. How's everything else in life for you at the moment?
It's quite good. Yeah.
Didn't you recently do some coffee training?
I didn't want to talk about it because you're not drinking too much Lent. Doing Lent,
it'll be a challenge for me. Okay, like, talk to me about coffee for a moment. I need a coffee.
I could do the steps with you. So I went up to that there London, because we all live in London because we're in England. So I went up there.
How long did it take on the bike?
3 hours.
3 hours?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good.
Let me just ask.
N25, it's gridlock, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You're on a bike.
Yeah, well, we did filter. But you can't filter at, 70 miles an hour.
No.
So, because that's...
Yeah.
Not safe. Plus, I had our friend Shelfie on the back as well.
She was on the back.
She was.
I'm not even joking, this has gone through my head a few times.
Okay.
Was it not uncomfortable for her?
She coped quite well. So.
For 3 hours?
Yeah.
Because it's not like in a car when you can just adjust and
then 3 hours
sit back.
She did wiggle around a bit. Because when you're riding, you do feel if your pillions go in.
I just kept thinking about, I wouldn't want to go down the road on the back of your bike.
No.
Let alone 3 hours. Hats off.
Yeah, she did well. She was a good pillion passenger. She really was.
So on the way back,
it was a bit cold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been cold, though, wasn't it?
It has been cold, yeah.
Because it was February that you did it, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago. But it was really, really interesting.
Good.
Science-y.
It was a lot of science in coffee.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it went through the 6 different types of coffee plants and the fact there's only the 2 we use the most.
Yep.
The fact they're developing one that's going to be caffeine free.
Ooh.
So they don't have to
decaffeinate. I know they're also trying to develop ones because we're going to run out of they're trying to so the Robusta one is more robust, but it doesn't taste good.
No.
So they're trying to get a flavour of more like that and a plant more like the Robusta.
Because that makes 70% of our coffee market and all that sort of stuff. The 5 different grades of coffee and all that sort of stuff and what makes each grade. It went through that. The fact that all the Colombian coffee came from a coffee plant that was stolen from the King of France.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah. It's wasn't it a gift to try and win over his daughter?
Yeah. And then someone stole it.
Yeah.
So I loved all that sort of history and things like that. So all of that sort of thing. And then they briefly went into about the roasting of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main sort of
flavour
profile of it.
Yeah.
And then the fact that water can make a difference to the taste.
You should only use filtered water.
Which I've actually bought now for my my salon. I've bought a filter, so it's going to be good. So from the tap, it's going to be filter water.
Yeah,
which is going to be so much better. Yeah, to making sure you've got the right acidity and that sort of stuff to get the real profile coming out. But then the thing that really fascinated me, the fact that if you fill the handle bit up or the hopper or whatever you call it, in your fancy water machine, filter. That's the one. If you fill it in on a slant, you'll make the worst coffee.
Yeah, because it hasn't got even even distribution.
Yeah, so all of that sort of stuff. And then the recipe of coffee and all the geekiness and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, ratios.
So the fact that even if you're sort of 0.1 of a gram out, it can alter the taste that sort of stuff.
But
so all of that stuff. Brilliant. I loved it.
So have you now got coffee scales in your salon?
Well, no, because my machine is like a home machine. It's like a top end of home machine.
Yeah.
So I have to fill mine right to the top so that it gets the pressure. And I've got scales anyway because I use them for.
Yeah.
But they're not as accurate for. I mean, the only people really that use scales that accurate is coffee aficionados and drug dealers. So and coffee is a drug, right? So maybe it's the same. But I have got a grinder now. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to play around with how fine that grind is.
That will make a difference in the pressure and the flow.
Yes, because I was buying pre-ground, but so then I can make sure that the amount that's going in is
the coffee will be fresher when you grind it yourself. And
so it will be better. Yeah. Just finding space. It's finding space. Mm-hmm. So
fun.
So I learnt lots. Yes. It was very intensive. And I loved it.
Yes.
And then we had some ramen for lunch as well.
Nice.
From about three doors down. So it was good.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was a great day. I got to ride my bike for 6 hours and then learn lots of nerdy stuff and eat ramen.
Perfect.
Perfect day.
What a day.
Yeah.
What a day.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So shall we dive into our topic of the day? Lent past. Part two, past two.
Lent part two. Oh, yes.
Lent past two is like what?
Let's lean in.
Leaning in. Yeah. I was going to try and think of another pun, but my brain stopped instead. Think of one
Fasting. We're gonna, fasting. And also, we were going to give an opportunity for you to talk about yourself a little bit.
Oh, hooray! Yeah. by the way, just say the word again, to begin with F.
Fasting.
Fasting.
Yeah, fasting.
Fasting.
Yeah, I'm from Yorkshire.
you pronounce the invisible R. Fasting.
Yeah, fasting.
Fasting. How long can we do this?
It's a whole podcast on saying fasting.
Fasting.
Yeah.
Say butcher.
No, I'm a vegan. Butcher.
Oh, you don't. You're not as Yorkshire as you think you are, then.
No, I'm not. Well, I grew up on the continent. You know, 8 years in Germany and a couple in Cyprus, and then I went around the world a couple of times.
So, okay, yeah, fair enough.
But occasionally, Yorkshire comes out.
Say Bath.
Bath.
Goodness. Can you not see the invisible R's in all of these words?
There are no R's in it. Bath.
Bath, that's it. And fasting.
Fasting.
Fasting. Okay, so we want to talk about the desert times. So in our lives we have ups and downs and...
Is that when you're going on the dunes?
Yeah, sometimes on a roller coaster.
Cool.
But so like a roller coaster, it's all up and down.
Yeah.
And...
You could almost surf on them.
You could.
I don't say surf.
No.
But,
But I think something I listened to recently, we're talking about how on the downs, it's actually a really good privileged moment to engage with God and engage with yourself and kind of have a quiet moment to yourself.
Yeah.
And just sort of... There's a bit, again, we mentioned nature before, but a bit like the trees are pruning back times, because we can get quite scared of the desert times, the times when we're kind of needing to be a bit more alone and going through some deep stuff. and everything feels a bit, I don't know, hard. And
isolating and lonely, yeah, isn't it?
And we're going through a super hard time, but we can't really translate that to people. And I would say they're the desert times, but they're also the times, they're the most holy times, because they're the times that we engage with God. And it's actually a privilege to be entering. I think it was a Richard Rohr book I read that in, actually. It's a privilege to go and reflect. Oh, no, it wasn't. It's another book that I read. It's a privilege to go into those times.
Was it from him, or should we take his
credit
away?
I can't remember the person or the book.
Okay.
but Richard Rohr would say something like that.
Yeah.
So they're privilege times. And obviously Jesus...
it's a privilege.
It's a privilege. And so Jesus, we know that after his baptism, he went through, and I think we mentioned this before, the temptation, 40 days, 40 nights. So he's without food, without... don't know, he might have had water, I don't know, but he was completely isolated, and he went through this in-depth time with God, and we don't really know what happened in that time, only the reflection of the whole thing. He obviously said to someone, I've been doing this.
It was almost like a summary,
wasn't
it?
Jesus?
But then he was on his own, you know. He didn't have a film crew, he didn't get papped
He didn't write about it or say much about it, so we don't know exactly all the things he went through, but
he just summarized it, really.
I went in the desert, didn't eat much, and got tempted by Satan.
That's it. I'm always interested, though, the fact that desert and dessert are so similar. Because I'd hate to be stuck in the desert.
No, especially if it's full of animal product.
Well, definitely then,
A chocolate mousse.
That's like a double animal, right?
Yeah, exactly. A mousse and chocolate. So quickly. So in that time, he would have been drawn closer to God, like we talk about in...
So it was like a synopsis he gave us.
Yeah. But I'd imagine he felt very vulnerable at times. He felt very exhausted and maybe even restly. And other times he probably had
hangry.
A time of his...
hangry.
But then he might have had the time of his life, like we find when we have a little breakthrough with God. And like not all the time, but he would have had these joy-filled moments where he's just engaging with God and hearing things that are filling him with joy.
Exactly.
And I imagine it was deep meditation most of the time. And I just think about my experiences of meditation and fasting and stuff. You do connect in a completely different way. So imagine, just imagining it is quite an interesting task. So, dear listener, I sort of encourage you to have a moment of thinking what, from your own experience of having time out of things, if you've ever fasted before, if you've ever spent prolonged time on a pilgrimage or something on your own, what that's done in you and what Jesus would have gone through. And then he went through the temptation and he denied basically taking control of his own life because he was given the control over to God. So it's like his human versus spirit was going on.
I think the thing I've always struggled with it is that 40 days without any substance is humanly impossible.
Yeah.
But then when you run the parallel of when Moses came out and took them out of that kind of slavery and that sort of stuff, you know, God gave them the manna cake and things like that.
Yeah.
So maybe that happened for Jesus as well.
Yeah.
So he was fasting during the day, and then he was given that manna to sustain him.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't discussed.
Yeah.
Because I think the Bible does that, you know.
It doesn't give the full...
Yeah.
So, which is why you have to weigh everything up, I guess.
Yeah.
Because we don't know, we don't know exactly what that fully means, but he definitely devoted a big chunk of time to sit with God and not be distracted by normal human things.
Yeah. And I think we can last... I think it's 2 weeks without water, so for him not to have anything.
Yeah, I'd imagine he, because he was fully human. So,
So I think, but I mean, it doesn't distract from the fact that 40 days away is still a massive...
A big, that's so, it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was in isolation. I mean, 40 days away from any contact with anyone else is going to... I mean, that's difficult in itself.
Mm-hmm.
I remember once when on the ship that I served in, because I was a medic in the Navy, for those that don't know that, dear listener, we were at sea for 3 weeks, so what, right. 21 days.
Yeah.
And people were getting agitated.
Right.
Because you were with the same people for that entire extended period.
Yeah.
And people needed a break.
Yeah.
And I think for that 40-day period, it's that same extreme.
Mm-hmm.
So it forces you to really reflect on what's going on inside you and things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's maybe why Lent, again, is that extended period
yeah.
where we go through those periods of fasting to remind us
yeah.
of those things. It just pulls us back, doesn't it?
That's so, it. It's,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. And maybe good. The more orthodox traditions where they sort of give up whole food groups, it really is a stark reminder.
Yeah.
Whereas for some of us, like me personally, I've just given away those two things,
mm-hmm.
but it's still enough
yeah.
For me to miss it, so it kind of jolts me into thinking yeah. about God
yeah.
And it's the first time I've actually done Lent like this
yeah.
Most of the time it's like, well, it's not in the Bible, I'm not doing it.
yeah.
So whereas this time I think I'm getting a lot more from it
because
yeah. I've actually engaged, because
you've engaged yeah. yeah, instead of it just being like a religious tradition yeah, yeah, it's yeah. been an actual thing that, and yeah, but yeah. it's interesting because then after his 40 days 40 nights mm-hmm. he then, that was when his ministry started, and I just yes. Was yeah. reflecting on that yesterday and just thinking of what his ministry really was, because yeah, he brought some words from heaven. He obviously connected with heaven
yeah.
in that time, and he brought some wise words, but he, the biggest thing he did was he showed a love that wasn't being shown through humanity before.
Yeah, definitely.
And that speaks to me probably the most. And the fact that he boldly did stuff like the he who cast the first stone mm-hmm. and those kind of moments where he was anti-religion and pro-love
yeah.
Was just absolutely stunning and also groundbreaking.
Yeah. And reaching out to those people in the margins, like
yeah.
the tax collectors.
Yeah.
You know, they were hated. You know, yeah. they were on the side of the people that were basically the dominating forces, the Romans of the time. Yeah.
And
reached out to them and came alongside the prostitutes.
Yeah.
The people from other cultures, you know, the woman in the well and all that sort
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah, he pulled in all yeah. of the marginalised.
Yeah.
And all of the judged,
yeah.
and he talked about the Samaritans,
yeah.
and he talked in parables. So not only did he didn't just stand there and dictate to people
no.
and say, this is how you
he
should
did it
live,
by example, yeah.
which is what the religious do.
Mm.
They say, this is yeah. how you should live if you want your ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
You pay for it with X, Y, Z.
Mm.
He said, he just said it's all about love
yeah.
literally in every single message. And then he brought the parables, which then also said, I invite you to investigate God's heart.
Mm-hmm.
So a parable never ever tells you a straight story. It tells you a story that sounds moralistic
yeah.
and is moralistic
yeah. so it resonates it,
yeah. yeah, and it invites you to say, well, what did Jesus mean? What
mm-hmm.
what's the reason for the five purses of coins, or the
yeah.
the 10 bridesmaids, or the this or the that.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the reason for the number? What's the reason for the objects?
Mm-hmm.
And it invites not just the people he was speaking to,
yes.
but the people in 2024 who are yeah. sat there with the Bible in front of them going, well, what's that?
Yeah. What's this dusty old tomb?
Yeah.
What does it mean to me? Yeah.
And we can't say it's cultural because it's not even
no.
a thing. It's not a historic document. It's a story that says, I invite you to come and just investigate the heart of heaven and the
yes.
heart of God.
Yeah.
And I just think that's so clever.
Yeah.
That's ridiculously clever of him. He so anti-religion that he never told you what to do.
No.
But we believe that he did. And then we even
yeah.
miss that point
yeah.
as religious people and
yeah.
Christians. And we try and tell people what yeah. to do.
Well, he just lived by example. I mean,
yeah.
even at the very end when he was on the cross and you had the two thieves on either side.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was like, well, go on, then save yourself.
Mm.
You know, you've saved everyone else, apparently.
Yeah.
And then the other one was like, you know, we've done wrong. You know, he doesn't
yeah.
deserve to be here.
Yeah.
And then from that, he was like, I will see you in heaven.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So, and then you get all these judgmental people or people trying to strive to get into heaven through their acts. Maybe that's what you meant about it's a narrow path.
Yes.
But, you know, it's not about judging. It's about judging ourselves and trying to change that.
Yeah.
To me.
I'd love to talk about the narrow paths one day because of the narrow path. Gosh, eye roll. it's path.
Uh-huh.
my dad talks quite a lot about that. And
he calls it a path as well, doesn't he?
Shut up. so I'm going to talk to him again and investigate that in my own head because that could be a good topic because I think that might just explode things a little bit for the religious minded people that still hold that and say
controversial. I like it.
So your friend from last week with the rainbow, it might just challenge them a little bit about,
well, I don't think they'll be listening to this podcast.
Oh no,
but, you know,
but that kind of mindset, those that went LGBTQ world, put your rainbows down, it's ours.
And I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, I'm just saying what I am saying is that we shouldn't be judgmental against people.
Exactly.
You know,
and that's the message that Jesus brought.
Yeah.
It is the message that Jesus brought.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
what would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do? Yeah. Someone said that. I think it's my brother. We were at the pub once and he was not so much into religion and I was quite religious minded even at the time. And I can't even remember what the context was, but he went to me, oh, why not? What would Jesus do? And I said, he would hang out with the losers and freaks like you. And he was like, damn.
I mean, I like going to the pop quizzes of the church. And I just put one answer. Jesus. And then if they mark it wrong, it's like, but Jesus is the answer. Come on.
Oh, there's another joke on that one.
Yeah.
So Sunday
school.
I'm being
serious. What are you on about?
I'm sorry. Sunday school.
Yeah.
Okay. All these children sat there.
Yeah, I remember it.
And
I did go to one.
Yeah. And the teacher, Bible teacher, stands up and starts doing the description they got. So something that's got like a fairy body, bushy tail, really loves eating nuts, lives in a tree. What am I describing? And there's no one puts their hand up except one kid starts to slowly put their hand up. He goes, what is it? And the kid goes, Jesus.
Correct. There we go.
Because every answer must be Jesus.
Exactly that.
Jesus is always the answer.
And if I don't get 100% and a certificate, then there's something wrong.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
It's because he's sinful.
It must be it. It must be it.
Jesus can't see past the sin. Apparently. Apparently the cross didn't happen.
When you look at the Greek and the Hebrew words for sin, it means to miss the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
Yeah.
So, and we all miss the mark. We all take a wrong turn at some point or other.
We do miss the mark.
But,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. Anyway, 40 days later.
So that that's going to be that part, and I'll talk about me in a minute because, you know, hate talking about me.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, talk to me about desert times for you.
Desert times. So other than dessert, right?
Not dessert.
No. Same spelling, dyslexic. It's the same spelling.
It's not the same spelling as dyslexic.
Okay. That's where I'm going wrong.
It's not even the same spelling as each other.
Oh.
Dessert and desert. One's
I know each other's spelt differently, dessert. Not that bad.
Desert's got one S, dessert's got two. Because you dessert.
Semantics. So I think the desert time for me, it's...
Mm-hmm.
Although it is a time of isolation, and I think it's always scared me. Because it's a time where you take away from things and then you have to look. Not that I'm scared of looking inwardly, but sometimes that can be a dark place.
Yes, it
and
can.
And I'm comfortable in that dark place and that scares me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The fact that I'm comfortable in that
melancholy
almost.
Yes, yeah.
So why do I want to be in that? And maybe that's why I strive to be part of communities so much.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows? That's a bit philosophical, isn't it?
It is very philosophical.
Shall I lay on my little couch and we'll do a therapy session for this one?
Let's expose
that's
this.
It. Let's feel. Let's make Amber all vulnerable, which is. So I think the desert. Jesus, throughout all of the sort of examples where Jesus connected with God, he went on his own to pray and meditate and to connect. So I think that is what the desert time represents.
Yes.
But an extended period of that where you can really deep dive in.
Yeah.
And listen, because that's what, you know, the desert is a quiet place.
Yeah.
On the face of things.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always things going on and things like that. It's a quiet place where it's not busy.
No.
And it is meditative. So you've got the winds on the dunes, and I'm romanticising now, and, you know, little patterns and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a place of extremes.
Exactly. It's not a comfortable place at all.
Yeah.
But it's a place where you can rely on a higher being.
Yeah.
Because you're not comfortable, you haven't got your comforts that distract you from seeking help and seeking more.
But those distractions, you then have to rely on an outward source of something.
Yeah.
So that to me is my thoughts on that desert time. Is that I have to turn to God or something other than me.
Yes.
You know, is there going to be a passing nomad train that is going to sort of save me from it, or do I just kind of go, come on God, help me out, do me a solid, because that's my favourite thing to say to God at the moment.
Give me a solid.
That's my own thoughts on it, really.
I mean, I actually don't want to talk about me. I think that rounds it up.
Okay, cool.
I think it's just, it's the, I think, okay, for me, it's the understanding that it is a holy time, a holy space, and a time that is actually really important for yourself.
Yes.
Makes me less wanting to fight it.
Door slam,
I tried to yell the word as the door slammed. It's and less kind of complainy about it, like, oh, I'm going through such a hard time. And get me right here, we go through hard times, and I'm not saying just endure your hard times and pull your socks up and get on with it. I'm saying that maybe consider that you're in a desert time, and actually you kind of may have, if you surround yourself with the right people and right support, you may find that desert time becomes the making of you,
and it can be a reflective time.
Yeah,
I think I was told, or read somewhere, or something or other, some vague reference.
Somewhere I read something.
Some vague reference to something I can't remember.
That was written by someone.
That's it. Yeah,
and it was good.
And it was good. Yeah. so, before I lose my train of thought,
sorry.
In the time of hardship, that's where we find things.
Yes.
Because when we're comfortable, we just don't go look. With the flow of things.
Yeah.
So it's in those times of hardship, that's when we really dig deep to find out what's important, what's needed to fix the issue.
Yeah.
So when we have those times of hardship, the desert time, that's when we really grow as people.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah.
It's really true.
Yeah. And we can be surrounded by lots of things at that point and still have that desert time.
Yeah, we can.
Inverted commas.
And you can still get on with life. I'm not saying that you end up literally in a desert or away from everyone, but you just find that you can't engage with everyone the same way because your head is so in something and going through something.
But hardship promotes growth.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we're complacent and we just sit in that comfortable place.
Yeah.
It's like the caterpillar, isn't it? They're merrily munching along and then all of a sudden
they're being disintegrated.
Yeah, they disintegrate themselves, which must be quite hard. But before that they've got to prepare.
Yeah.
So maybe that's like Lent. Maybe the caterpillar perhaps is Lent.
Love that.
Yeah. I just invented it.
Yeah.
It's copyright me. So, you know, it's in that nice place, going along nicely. Builds a cocoon, disintegrates itself,
And then emerges.
And then emerges something more beautiful. Unless it's a moth. But moths are beautiful as well.
Yeah, I think they're more beautiful than a blooming caterpillar.
Yeah.
Looks a bit like a worm. Sorry, caterpillars.
It does look like a worm.
Oh,
it
now
does.
We won't have any caterpillars listeners.
Sorry, dear listener, if you are a caterpillar. But yeah.
You fight against the idea that you look like a worm.
And sorry, spoilers, you're going to turn.
When you start having the urge to build that cocoon, you're about to disintegrate. That's
sorry. But it's worth it in the end, right? And I think as humans, we can learn something from the caterpillar.
Yeah.
We can, you know, please don't dissolve yourself in a bath of acid or anything. But that's...
Oh my God.
Hey, I told you, I'm coming from dark places.
I didn't know it was going to be Halloween today.
But, you know, we can go in that dark place.
Yeah.
And dissect and dissolve things that don't serve us anymore.
No.
And that creates a beauty.
You shouldn't do the acid in the bath, though.
No.
If you've watched Breaking Bad, you'd know that.
Okay. Fair enough.
Watch Breaking Bad if you're intrigued. It's a really good TV series.
I do like it.
Yeah. Do you know the scene I'm thinking of?
Was it an enamel bath or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. And a plastic bath.
Yeah, there's forms of plastic that acid can be in, so it's better to disintegrate body in plastic. That's what I learned.
There you go.
In plastic boxes.
There we go. That, dear listener, is your...
I did not expect to end the episode with disintegrating bodies. Oh. Anyway,
like caterpillars.
Please don't do it.
It's all transformative.
Please don't do it. Please. No.
Don't kill people. It's one of the Ten Commandments.
I think we need to finish.
I think we should carry on. We haven't talked about you yet.
No, we did.
I know.
I wiggled it in.
You wiggled it in.
I don't want to talk about myself, but the way I look at it.
So we've talked about Jesus in the desert. We've talked about fasting. And it being a form of reminder. So I think that's it. And we haven't even mentioned pool noodles, which is amazing.
I knew there was something missing in this episode. Anyway.
That's it.
Like,
subscribe, comment,
follow.
Yeah, follow. Yeah, share it with a friend. Get them to laugh at us as well.
Discuss. I have had an idea which I haven't discussed with you.
Oh, okay.
So, from here on out, if you agree, this is us having a meeting now.
Oh, okay.
She's
doing this so that if I agree to it, it's recorded.
Exactly that. And to remind myself, because I'll never remember this moment again.
Yeah.
I was thinking, because we our synopsis of our podcast is about asking questions.
Yes.
Maybe we should end every episode with a question to dear listener and challenge you to somehow respond to our question.
Maybe we should.
Maybe we should. What do you think? That's the question.
Well, maybe that was my question. No, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. And then where would they put the answer to their
questions? Well, when I get my act together and I start posting on social media a bit more regularly.
What, you mean you can't blame the tech girl? Whoop, whoop, that's a revelation!
All those weeks of grace, I think I deserve a little.
Okay.
It's been months, I know. But anyway, I did post one this week and I've got loads ready. I've got photos galore.
Cool.
But so we will be posting
it's like
on...
our new band name.
Yeah,
Mercy
Waves.
Something.
I can't remember.
Yeah, Mercy Waves. Yeah, but that wasn't the band name.
No, it was something Mercy like... Journey.
Mercy Journey. There we go.
Mercy Waves is the first single.
Yeah,
which we're going to write in a minute.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway.
Yeah.
We will end this episode at some point.
Answer the question, which was what was the question?
Well, should we?
Well, dear listener, what do you think? Do you think
that's
we should?
It. That's there it. That
go.
Is the
Over
question.
Over to you, dear listener. Yes.
And
ask your friends. Get them to laugh at us as well. Listen to these pair of Muppets, you know.
Yeah. I think they know what they're talking
that's
about.
That's it. Yeah. Rambling along. Yeah. And there it is.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Oh, don't forget. Easter moo cows.
It's Easter moo cow. Almost.
Now.